Punters and dribblers, as always, we're brought to you by the greatest multivitamin ever conceived by man, Good Day. Now, the reviews continue to flow in thick and fast.
Have you got that one from the other day?
Yeah, can I read it out?
Yeah, read it out.
It's so good. It's actually fucking unbelievable. What has been really nice, Tom and I were reflecting on this the other day, is just how much people are finding it
beneficial to their
massively
life.
Beneficial to their life. I know that at the start there would have been a lot of cynics out there going, these cunts are full of shit, they don't know what they're doing, and you couldn't be more wrong, which just brings joy to my little heart and my little soul. Now I want to get up this absolutely elite review,
and we do appreciate the reviews, obviously. Look, it's like the feedback is positive, so that's good. But just being able to hear how it's helping you and the different ways you're seeing benefits helps us know, I guess, the most tangible. Cause there's like tangible benefits and there's intangible ones, like energy, for example. You can feel an improvement in your daily energy, whereas then there's like nutritional benefits like liver health or your fucking immunity generally being boosted. Those are ones where you don't really notice that until maybe you're on it for a while, and you say you've got two young children in daycare who come home sick as fuck, and then you just don't seem to be getting sick where you used to get sick.
Life-changing. 5 stars. Big fan of Hello Sports, so my viewers are always going to be biased. I actually bought it for my wife. Didn't mention who it was by and just let her see how it went for her. Mum of 3 kids and runs her own busy business while I also work 7 on 7 off away. After 3 days, she was hooked. Improved late in the day fatigue and mood. Come day 7, she had forgot to take her Good Day. Her mother was visiting and said the wrong thing and she snapped. Instantly says, I'm sorry, I haven't had my Good Day. Next thing, the mum-in-law is now tasting it and they're walking around the house like they both just discovered fire and were the only ones to know about it. Good result. Even got some alone time with the added less fatigue. With her, not her mum. That would be weird. But a look into the future, I suppose. So it's out there working its ass off, which is fucking terrific. There are downsides to being the fastest selling multivitamin of all time.
Yeah.
And that's that in the last month in particular, sales have just gone fucking through the roof,
which we love.
Tripled, I think, Tom. So we basically got caught with our pants down a little bit and not enough stock on hand.
Yeah, pants down, cold, little doodles.
It won't happen again. That's a Hello Sport promise. However, we are likely to sell out in the next probably 4 or 5 days, roughly. We will have stock for those with subscriptions.
Yep.
So you will never miss out. If you're a subscriber, you're good. If you are a new subscriber as of when we sell out, or you're a new customer, you won't be able to purchase. Well, you can purchase it, but it won't arrive for about 3 weeks.
Yes. So from here, if you start subscribing, you basically just locking it in so that when it lands, then you're good to go and you're straight back on the train.
So you'll know, Punters and Dribblers, we'll do a bit of a thing on the Instagram when we do a sellout, and you'll notice on the website it'll flick from buy now to pre-order.
Yeah.
So that'll be the difference.
Listen, it's not ideal, but it also really just means that it's been successful beyond our wildest imagination, and you just couldn't have planned for it to go as well so quickly. So we're fucking horny for that. We got more as soon as we financially could, we fucking ordered more. And it's just the way that it goes, the production, again, when you're getting primo quality shit, it takes time.
And it's got to be tested multiple times. There's a bit of a process. We've sped it up as much as we can. It is what it is, punters and dribblers. Bear with us. So we'll let you know when it sells out. But again, it'll be sometime this week. Again, and subscribers,
dude,
you're all good.
It's funny.
You're all good.
We've been looking at it going, geez, we might have a couple of days here where we don't have any. We'll see. But, you know, we should be all right. And then just each day it keeps growing. And there's like, obviously you're fucking pumped for that. But then you go, oh, shit, it might actually be a little bit more. Maybe it's going to be a week where we won't have any. And you're like, oh, fuck, maybe it's going to be 2 weeks. Then on the weekend, Eddie's like, it could sell out within days. I'm like, oh, my God. God, fuck. Yes, great. Thank you all. But also, fuck.
Yep. So subscribers, you're good. We'll let you know when it sells out, and fucking good on you.
Get the fucking pre-order in though. It's clearly good shit. You don't want to miss it. Just become a subscriber and then you're fucking good to go.
BeGoodHealth.com.au, code Dribblers for 20% off.
You are listening to the Hello Sport Podcast.
How are you, Edward, on this Thursday as we sit down for a Thursday pod?
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm feeling fresh today.
I'm feeling great today.
Yeah.
Thursday, generally, when the engine starts ticking over again.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And then it can purr, depending on what you do, depending on what sort of fuel you put into her, it can fucking redline on the weekend.
Are you planning that? Have you?
No, there's no plan to do
that. No, cool. Just no. You just, you know, how did you feel getting back into, like, did you have a couple of sad days? You know, and did you get to Monday?
Flat days. There's some flat days. Yeah. Yeah, there's flat days.
Is it different now that you are doing, like, you know, you've got a lot of sort of, not free time, but it's like your own job sort of shit. So it's like you're not having to, like, go into work, punch a ticket.
Yeah, it's more relaxed.
So it's easier to be sad.
Yeah, it's easier to be sad. Way easier to be sad.
Yeah.
But you are flat.
Yeah.
You're flat. That we can say with authority. Well, that's what I can say with authority. But, like, I guess it's all about what you fucking put into it. Like, if you go for a run, you can turn a corner.
You could be
like, if you want to be a fat slob and let the weight of the world crush you,
yeah,
you can. But
if you've done it to yourself, you kind of have to get yourself out of it.
Like if you get up on Monday morning, if you have a fucking massive week and you got up Monday morning, went for a run, sweat it all out, just pounded the pavement or went for a swim or something, you'd be fine.
Yeah.
Your week's done. Yeah. You're good to go.
You're back. But, or at least you start each day like that, each bad day like that, because it's usually a Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the strength, the willpower to get that done, that's a huge lift. I've always been jealous of people that can do that.
People that just in general get up early and go and fucking rip, I don't get.
Like when I used to go to the gym, I would look at the 5:15 a.m. class and I go, you've got to be fucking kidding me. Who's on that class? Why?
Both the fitness instructor who has to get up and do it on a Monday morning. Yeah. I know they're like a different breed of person who's like, ha ha, go.
Well, that's
get
their
up.
Life, right? That's They've their got life. To.
Well, they do have to.
It's like when you got up at 3 a.m. to do the
radio. That's true. That was soul crushing. That was. Not the job, the hours.
Yeah.
But the fucking, I've done like a couple in my entire life of those early morning classes back when I used to
5:15.
Like the 6 a.m., not 5:15, but like the early morning class, not the fucking still dark outside class.
Yeah, not the fucking...
Not the psycho.
The one the birds do.
No. But a couple of them, you feel fantastic afterwards. You go, I'm going to do this every fucking time. And then when the time rolls around, you go, you are out of your fucking mind if you think I'm getting up to.
Isn't that strange that like... Even though you have such positive experiences up, like during and after, that you just, when it comes down to it, every single time, more often than not, you'll talk yourself out.
Yeah, 100%. Nah.
What is that about?
It's the battle of the mind. It's even just a exercise battle for me. Like I've had periods where it's like you exercise heaps for a big block, and you're like, I'm never gonna fucking stop this.
Never
gonna
stop.
And then you do, but like. 6 months sort of shit. Like the end of last year I was going, and then 6 months where it was like, nah, I'll get back into it. I'll do one run that week and then it's nothing. And then I'm fucking hitting the piss and then I'm eating like shit. Or it's like, oh yeah, Steph, I just ordered fucking Anita ice cream from Bondi to the house. No, not just for like two people. I got a tub and we have to finish it tonight. Because there's no room in the freezer. Plus my new thing in my new like trying to not be a fat shit is if there's bad food in the house, it's finished that night. It's just like, get it out of the fucking house, because otherwise I'm just going to be snacking on ice cream or cookies or whatever like every day for a significant amount of time.
So you pound them that night, or you eat as many as you can, throw them out, or you just pound them?
Pound them. I'm not throwing them out. One thing I can guarantee you is you're not throwing them out. It's the same thing with the vape. We got them to support Manly and now I'm like, I'm not going to get another one, but I have it. I'm not throwing it out. I'm pounding it into the earth and then I'm back.
Mate, it's crazy. They say that like people in sales and shit are like, if you're in sales you need to be able to win the first like sale of the day, and that's, or the first negotiation of the day, and that's between yourself and your body by being go stay in bed, bro. You've earned it. Like, you've been fucking killing it lately. Like, you've earned a sleep in. But then you need to like talk yourself into it.
You haven't earned shit.
And they're like, there's people are like, if you can't win that,
you're fucked.
You're fucked. That's the rest a great. Of the day.
You know what? Sales or not, I like that mentality. I don't have like a first thing, like, you know what I mean? It's probably kind of beneficial to have like some sort of like habitual thing every day where it's like, if I get this out of the way, like I've started on the right tone every single day. I've got nothing like that. Mine would just be try and exercise every day, or at least every other day.
Ella meditates every morning.
Does she?
She's supposed to meditate morning and afternoon. She finds afternoons really hard. But the morning, she's now in a habit, into a routine. There's some stat that Dior will look up that if you do it for a certain amount of time, it becomes a routine.
Yes. Yeah, no, the habit-forming shit. That's like, you've got to do it. It's like 90 days or something like that.
90 days,
is it? I think so. Steph, it's funny you say that. Steph was literally just telling me then when we were driving in, she was like, because she was talking to me. She drove me in here and she was talking to me about something. And then I was fucking off with the fairies. And she was like, did you
get shit for that?
Oh, yeah, I'm always off with the fairies, dude. I'm always thinking about shit.
That's like a thing with me and Ella, is that she's like, you're not present enough.
That's me, dude.
I'm not present enough.
I'm 100% not present enough. My mind just wanders and I'm either thinking about like Hello Sport things or about even things or just fucking something completely unnecessarily random where it's like, oh, sorry, I was just like, you know, rehashing an argument I had with my sister when I was nine. But so she was like, maybe you should try meditation in the morning and the afternoon, like twice a day, 10 minutes. And she's always got like good ideas. To be honest, if I listened to 99% of the shit she told me to do, I'd be better off. But I'm like, I'm also like, my default is I don't want to be told what to do. So I almost say no to something before I've even considered the potential benefit for it. And that always pisses her off. And she was like, maybe if I started a fucking Dribbler account and just started DMing you, then you'd do it. And I'm like, what does that mean? What the fuck's that mean? She's like, well, fuck, you know, you're taking shin splint advice off these complete fucking randoms. I'm like, yeah, but I'm taking it off like physios or like fitness people and shit. I'm not just taking some random dude in the DMs and going like, oh, thanks, bro. I'll try fucking,
Yeah. But I get where she's coming from.
100% I do.
It's a funny way of putting it.
Because I also find, like, often unintentionally, but like a recommendation of something from a mate and then a recommendation of the same thing from the missus, not intentionally, but sometimes you overlook the recommendation from the missus, then one of your boys is like, dude, you have to watch this show. And you're like, oi, we should watch this. And she's like, I fucking said that like 6 months ago. And you're like, oh, okay, sorry. I don't remember that.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that we're going through the same things.
Yes.
That doesn't surprise me.
No, it doesn't.
Do men generally wonder? Like, that's what I was trying to say. I'm like, I understand that you want me to be more present. Sure. That's fine. I'll do my best. But is this a gender thing?
Yeah.
Or is this a me thing?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Is this a me problem, or is this something that speaks to a larger reality for men everywhere that we're not always fucking paying attention?
Yeah.
Or a large
I'll tell you what I think can play a role is I can't multitask.
No, dude, I can't multitask.
I can't multitask at all, whereas women, generally speaking, seem to be able to.
I also struggle to stay on task. Like, I don't know if it's ADD or whatever. I don't think like... Sometimes I think ADD is just like, yeah, dude, sorry, you can't concentrate that well. It's not like I need fucking Ritalin, but I will start, like when I'm doing work, I'm doing it, and then I quickly start doing something else, and sometimes I'll have to stop myself, and I'm like, bro, you haven't finished one thing that you started.
Oh, I do that all the time.
You are doing 50 different things at once.
Yeah.
And none of them to the...
No, like I think to myself, you need to just start and... finish one thing and then you can move on instead of doing like a quarter of all of them. Because then you lose rhythm and
shit. You lose rhythm, they're all late, and then it's like, oh, well, you know, oh, there's... I tell you what, it can be something as like, you know, oh, I've just got to change the fucking song, or like, oh, I'm just changing the podcast I'm listening to in between doing something that I was doing. And then after you do it, the amount of times I'll have like
something that I need to do, and it's like I need to go to my phone to go and get something, whether you know an image or go and check something on Instagram. Before I know it, I'm 6Ks away from the thing that I was meant to do, and I never did the thing that I meant to do. And then I find myself going, wait, why the fuck was I here? Why was I here? What was I doing on – who do I need to find? And then sometimes it comes back to you, and sometimes you go
– dear God.
My brain is scrambled.
Yeah, yeah.
So scientifically, men do have shorter attention spans than women.
There you go. Yeah.
It says researchers have found that male brains tend to be attracted to things that are analytical, in brackets sports scores, and and visual, in brackets Heidi Klum, while female brains focus more on nonverbal and verbal communication, i.e. a stimulating conversation. It also says, interestingly, pregnancy is more complicated. Estrogen levels are at their peak, so many women experience an increased ability to concentrate. But because pregnancy can also be can also lead to fatigue and stress, it's harder to focus for longer periods of time.
Yeah.
Are you saying estrogen helps you concentrate?
That's what it says here.
Really?
Yep.
Interesting.
Well, Steph's been finishing up with her work because she's about to go on maternity leave, and she's just been like, she's got to do all this like handover stuff, get people ready, and she's just on the fucking go nonstop. But then we'll be in the car and she can't remember what the word traffic light is, which was today. She was like, because Evie's in the back seat, and Evie now, green, red, go, stop. Genius. Not even two. And then Steph's like, Evie, we're going to go to the park, but you've got to help me with the changing of the... And I'm like, traffic lights? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, holy shit, dude. Baby brain is a real thing. Real thing.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, that makes me feel at ease a little bit more.
Do they also like to talk more?
Oh, fuck yeah. Sometimes I'm comfortable to sit in silence.
In pure silence, like as in like absolute silence. You know those rooms where it's like acoustically, it's like the most silent rooms.
And then she's like, well, like, you know, fuck, we run out of things to talk about. I'm like, is that unusual though for us to run out of things to talk about?
We spend 95%
of our time together and have done for the last 6 months because of lockdown. Like, would you consider that unusual?
Yeah. Was that not something that we saw sort of in the future of like, or in an outcome of being locked in a house together? Like, surely one of the outcomes there is running out of things to talk about. Like, after we do our Tuesdays where we go bloke in a bar podcast into about even.
Yeah, I'm
and
then
we
park.
Finish like nine or, you know, we get home and I'm like, there are times when she will, I'm like wrecked. It just is. You just talk so much shit. And I'm just sort of sitting on the couch watching TV. And then she's sitting next to us. Like, I can feel her looking at me. And I don't want to be rude and, like, ignoring her. But I'm also like, I don't have any capacity to express myself anymore. Like, I'm drained. And then I'm like, but I'm also, I don't want to be rude. I don't want to piss her off. So I'm still trying to, like, you've seen, like, dudes have, I think, now whether chicks pick up on it or not, I'm sure they do. But, like.
I'm sure they do.
But, like, there are like ways for you to keep a conversation going whilst giving as little as possible.
But you can get found out sometimes. Yeah. You can get, because you'll say the wrong answer to something. Yeah. You know what I mean? You go, yeah.
It's just like, I didn't know.
She's like, I didn't say that. And you're like, oh, fuck.
Oh, shit. Yeah, sorry. I was fucking completely ignoring you. I was on autopilot. It's like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, cool. Yeah. Oh, shit.
Yeah, right. Autopilot.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Autopilot is hilarious.
Yeah, what?
And a very useful tool.
When done correctly, autopilot can get you through a 25-minute conversation without having to actually engage.
Yeah, I know. Without having to say anything. And particularly if they're running as well. Like if they're running hot,
you just need to sort of like, you know, it's like keeping a balloon up in the air. Every once in a while, you just got to tap the balloon back up again and let them go.
That's 100% it.
That's it. But God, like, love them.
I like talking to my sister the other day, and she said that she walked to Bondi with her friends, and that I was like, oh, what'd you talk about? She's like, oh, so like, you know, sometimes we didn't talk about anything. We'd run out of things to say because we lived together.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm like, oh, even drop that in a conversation later with Ella. Oh, even my sister's running out of things to say.
It happens.
Oh, fuck yeah.
But also, like, the amount of times Steph will ask me things like, so, you know, maybe I'll catch up with someone who I haven't seen for a while. And it's like, oh, so what's he doing with himself? I'm like, I don't know.
That's what fucks Ella off.
You know what I mean?
I'm like, no end. She's like, I didn't, you ask, don't ask any questions.
No, dude, no.
And I'm like,
we get there and we just dribble.
Yeah. I know. She's, Ella's like, I see, like, how's Luke? I'm like, good. She's like, what? So what's movies he doing and stuff? And I'm like, oh yeah. And I'm trying to explain it, but realizing that I didn't ask that many questions. I don't even know what it's called.
No.
You know what I mean?
We just got together, talked shit, tried to make each other laugh, bagged each other out, and then we leave.
Mm.
And I have no greater understanding of, like, how their life is.
I am impressed, though, like, when I hear Ella in conversations with people, the questions she does ask, like, they're illuminating. Like,
yes.
They get to a place, yeah, a nice place, where I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, yeah, I don't.
Well, there's just no interest. Like, obviously, there's an interest in, like, oh, you got a new job. How is it? Oh, you fucking went on holidays. How is it? How was it? But even then, like...
But even then...
Coming back from a holiday, the last thing I want to have to do is walk you through my holiday.
But the last thing I want to hear about was how it was. I wasn't there.
Exactly.
Oh, then we went
to
fucking...
Dude, it was so... The sunset at this place?
Yeah.
Wow, I bet it was good, but I wasn't there, so yeah. I don't give a fuck. You're never going to be able to transfer the majesty of the sunset of wherever you were
or the fucking time you were having to me. I wasn't there. No. You were there. I think at the end of the day, though, guys just like talking about things.
Yes, and nothing at the same time. Like, just... You know what I mean? You want to laugh and you want to just talk shit.
Yes. But we don't ever talk about like anything of substance or of note.
Very rarely.
Unless you're unpacking the world, trying to heal it and shit.
Unless you're trying to heal the world.
Like, that's a different conversation. But I mean more about, am I that interested in people's lives? Not that interested in them. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's sort of the long and the short of it.
And that's not a selfish thing because I'm also not that interested to tell you about my life.
Exactly. I just don't think that people's lives are that interesting, really.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, on the whole, like, we sort of know what people do. They go to work and they go home, like...
Unless you've got a yarn for me.
I don't mind goss. Like, I don't mind sitting down with Ella and her friends and having a goss.
I think everyone likes a bit of goss.
I'll have a goss.
Men's Women's Weekly, like, you're sort of... It's goss sometimes unfairly just heaped on women. Now, they might be the finest purveyors of goss.
Oh, they're purveyors of goss. Fine purveyors.
To sit here and pretend like we don't all love a bit of goss is... You'd be lying.
I do enjoy girl time sometimes when it's like me and the girls with goss and shit.
That's
it's
actually
funny.
A good fun time.
Yeah, it is fun.
They're all getting into their work and then you're sort of a bit like, all right, I'm in this now.
Yeah, I'm happy to goss.
I'm one of the gals.
I'm a gal. I'm a gal today. That's fun.
Yeah.
But outside of that, like guys, just for any women listening, guys don't really fucking talk about things when we're together. So don't be shocked if your boyfriend doesn't come home with like all this goss. I actually, when I'm with the boys, try and take like snapshots of goss that I can tell Ella later. And what's funny is when I go to tell her, I'm realizing there and then that I've forgotten most of it.
Forgotten any bit of information that she might have.
And then I'm just trying to like pull together this yarn based on like a vibe that I've got of the conversation. That could be, you know, half of it could be complete and utter bullshit.
Yeah.
But I'm just trying to pad this thing.
I'm just trying to pad it out and be like, oh yeah, I did make a conscious effort to try and bring home some shit for you here, some substance.
Because the first thing she'll say is, what's the goss?
Yeah, and I'll be
and
like,
I'm like, okay.
Actually... I've got nothing for you, unfortunately.
And then when I do have something good, I haven't asked enough questions.
Yes. So, or if I've got something good, sometimes I'll forget to tell her. And she'll be like, why the fuck didn't you tell me that? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. I thought I did. You know, and it could be something it's like something about us or like what we're doing or something cool that's happening or like something cool that someone else is doing. And then it'll be like, and we've spoken about it. And then maybe I'm on the phone talking about it. And it's just like, what the fuck was that about? And I'm like, oh, you know, Bracey got a movie, whatever the fuck it is. Yeah. And then it's like, well, why didn't you tell me that? I'm like, oh, didn't I tell you that? I thought, and she's like, when did that happen? I'm like, a couple of weeks ago. She's like, what the fuck? And I don't know. I'm sorry. I apologize.
It's just, it is what it is.
It is what it is. We are who we are. You know what I mean?
If you can't handle me
at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best.
You don't deserve me at my best. Always said that.
Yep. We came up with that.
We did. We came up with that many years ago. Thursday pod, here we are.
Friday night, tomorrow, or whenever you're hearing this, Friday night, Manly v South, we are doing a live stream on Bloke in a Bar's YouTube channel. So we're going to watch Manly win. Just so you know, set your watches, set your alarms. Manly v South live stream, Bloke in a Bar YouTube. Subscribe. Also subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already, just out of respect for the work we do. Eddie.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
But we are officially, Tom, what, like 36 hours away? Less than?
Yeah, less than. There was a yarn that Brad Parker was out, but now I hear he's not out.
No, he's in.
He's in.
And Kepi's in too.
Was there a cloud over Sean?
I believe so. Well, I mean, it was Manly put it up on their Facebook page saying they're both playing, so I assume there must have been
something. The Brad Parker one seems weird. It was like for 24, or not even 24, like 12 hours he was out. I tell you what, and obviously Brad's our first choice hooker, but I wasn't – that was the beauty of where we're at. I was like, oh, I'm not that – it's not like a – you have Moses Sully coming in. You're like, great, this guy's been ripping his dick off for the team all season. But whatever, Brad's there, so fucking – we're good to go.
Are you on Manly, Dior?
I don't want Manly to win, but worried they will.
You're worried
they
will?
Why don't you want them to win?
Because I see the Storm beating South easier than we could beat Manly.
Okay, there we go. I'll take that. Punters and Dribblers, we are brought to you by Neds. They are the betting platform of choice here at Hello Sport. Now, you can follow along all of our bets in the About Even private group on the Neds app. Also following our profiles. As I've been saying, my civilian bets are where I seem to be doing my best work. My About Even bets starting to improve. I can feel myself starting to improve. I did hit two on the weekend.
After back-to-back triple staked losses.
The triple staked losses for unit scoopers have absolutely cut to fucking the Tiger King. I may never recover from this, but... The civilian bets is where you can see me getting to my work, and that is on the profiles.
Good for you, Tommy. Ned's best in the business. Come join along. Join our About Even group if you'd like as
you
well.
Eddie, just you're just repeating me now, are you?
I didn't hear you say that.
You just where were you? Where were you?
Pixies.
Where were you, mate?
Pixies.
Full pixie stuff. So now you're just gonna say you're gonna talk about the fucking profiles tab as well? You're gonna talk about the About Even group? Yeah.
About Even group.
Yeah, how do you get in there?
That's what I said, Code Dribblers.
Oh, okay, there you go. Good. What's this ad for again?
Neds.
Oh, yeah, great point. Glad you're listening. Pixies. Pixie Simps. Shout out to Neds. We love you, Neds. We love you. Go Manly.
Now, you win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Punters and Dribblers, there's 2 days left to be in the chance to play golf. Be in with the chance to play golf at Shorty's with myself and Eddie. Buy a six-pack of Big Day Rosé at hallosport.shop. You will go in the running. We pick two winners from the month of April. But what are we doing month of May? Because we are working our way through the remainder of the most recent vintage. Got a couple left that we want to get rid of before we then turn all of our attention to the end of the year.
Just feeling generous, Tom.
We're feeling generous, and it's sale time.
We just thought, fuck it. If you buy a case and you use the code Manly, you get $50 off the case. If you buy two cases, you get $100 off.
Yep.
You get what I'm trying to say? Go to hallosport.shop, bang, rosé on there, code Manly, $50 off a case. Pretty fucking generous if you ask me, but we love the punter and we love the dribbler, and we're just like... let's get this vintage out there to the people that want it most.
Let's get it in the gullets of the nation.
That's right. Gullet up. True crime deep dive with Dior. Now, Dior, I think just give the overarching to the punter and the dribbler in case they've missed it.
Well, I'll just start off by this. You may have seen that a chick went missing in the US after being... her and her boyfriend were on like a four-month sort of wilderness holiday. She's a travel blogger. Was sadly, she has passed away, but the boyfriend came back and didn't report the girlfriend missing for like 10 days or some shit,
and got a lawyer
and has since disappeared.
The first thing he did was get a lawyer.
Yeah.
And they got pulled over by the cops because someone reported they were having a fucking massive roadside blow up. Maybe it was like a gas station or something, and the cops pulled them over
and there's like body cam footage and they're like, no, it's all good, it's all good, he's my fiance. It's fucking pretty. But it's like an internet true crime because they found her, the vehicle, abandoned vehicle, via like Google Images by someone. Someone was editing their photos online or some shit using Google satellite, or I don't know exactly. We'll get Dave. But they just saw the van. You know, sometimes you'll spot shit. They saw the van, and then they fucking cops went there, found the van, and she wasn't that far away. Mm. What do you got for us, Dave?
Yeah, so, I mean, that was all pretty much right. Like, so they went on a trip together. He came back. She didn't. He was back for a little bit, and now he's been missing for more than a week. They found her body in a river in this national park near where they were, which I think that's still where they're searching for him. It said, yeah, a TikTok user said she believes she led FBI to find her body after she spotted the white van and a man acting weird at a campsite. So he's definitely like a person of interest. There was something else here. Hang on. So yeah, they're saying like the reserve where they are, like the national park, is very unforgiving. It's like waist deep in water in most of the areas. And yeah.
Etch, dude. This, again, obviously it's horrifically sad that this chick has died. But like this is a true crime podcast, like unfolding in front of your fucking eyes.
I can't, like, what's crazy to me is this guy drives back to New York in his white van without her and goes and gets a lawyer. Like, yeah,
can you get the fucking details around that? Because he went home, like the timeline, he went home to his family and didn't say anything, got a lawyer, refused to cooperate, and then fucking disappeared. And he's now like disappeared into the wilderness. Legit, like he was like, apparently the family said like he packed his bag and fucked off into the wilderness or something.
Is he like a wilderness guy? Can he live off the land?
Potentially. I mean, he obviously, you don't go on fucking 4-month wilderness trips if you can't handle yourself in the wild, which would be outside of the fact that this guy's potentially a fucking murderer. The ability to survive in the wild is something that 99.9 fucking 4, shout out to the Bradman, percent of people have like probably lost that skill. You know what I mean? To like, if shit gets hairy and you got to go fucking rough it in the wild.
I don't think it's lost. I think it's you haven't learned it.
But that's sort of more what I mean, right? Like, as in we had the skill and we've lost it as a people.
Yeah,
A few people who can go in there and hunt with a fucking bow and like survive in, like, know what to do in tough situations and like.
They reckon when they caught Malcolm Naden, and he was on the run for fucking years.
Can you get Malcolm Naden updated?
I think they reported that he looked relieved,
fucking.
You know what I mean?
He was living in the bush, living in the roof of fucking people's houses and shit.
Well, like he was living off the land, but then he was also like
breaking into sheds
and like houses that had been the holiday houses and stuff, and he'd live in there and fucking.
Dude, apparently he was like, he broke into someone's house and was just like, he'd go in there and watch porn, crank him out, and then fuck off back into the bush. Again, do your own research, Dave.
Yeah, there's some good stuff here. So in 2005, he committed some murder. And then
committed some murder.
So he was hiding in the zoo for a couple of days. Dubbo Zoo. And there was like fucking, they sent in like the fucking SWAT police and shit to look for him.
In December 2005.
And then he was living in the area and shit.
Police closed Western Plains Zoo in Dubbo after Naden was sighted there. There was another confirmed sighting.
Did he get away from there?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So this is 2005.
Holy
and then,
shit.
Like by January 2009, Naden was thought to be located near Kempsey. August 2010. They thought he was living in dense bushland near Gloucester and Scone. By early 2011, police doubled the bounty to 100,000, increased it to 250,000 in December. In 2011, he shot a police officer while they tried to get him, so they're getting close.
Fuck.
And then 22nd of March 2012, in a rundown cabin about 30 kilometres west of Gloucester, heavily armed officers in a night operation basically busted in and got him. He faced court later that day and was refused bail.
7 years, bro.
Why hasn't anyone done anything on that? Like, that's an interesting yarn.
That is fascinating.
That is fascinating.
They've done like documentaries and shit, but I want
Yeah.
Yeah, there's been a couple, but I want the full works, full podcast treatment.
I want a Hedley Thomas.
I want a Hedley.
Can we get a Hedley Thomas on this fucking thing?
I'd love a Hedley because that shit gets me fucking going. I find that fascinating.
Same.
In this country, in the state, He was in New Zealand, leaving New South Wales. They couldn't catch him for 7 years.
Dude, but what about the people that just... There would be people that live off-grid as fuck in the bush. Remember when the bushfires happened a couple of years ago and friend of the show, Hitman, his missus at the time lived in the Blue Mountains, and then like when they went back after these fucking crazy fires and they were walking through bush around their property...
Mm.
And they found like burnt out campsites with like pans and bottles and fucking clothes and shit. And it was like either that was just a relic of an old time that had just been there for ages, or there were like some motherfucker just posted up in the bush and he had to hightail it out of there, or he died, or she, who the fuck knows. But like there'd be people like that all over the shop.
Yeah, there would be. But to add on to that is that he was like actively hiding as well.
Yes, so, yes. Of course, he was on the run.
He was on the run.
Yeah.
And like there was a fucking task force looking for him.
And
they couldn't find him for 7 years.
That's a lot. That's a fucking...
That's a fucking long time.
And he never really moved from like rural western New South Wales. He didn't even go that far. Ridiculous.
It's just dense bushland, right? Yeah. So, like, I mean, unless you really know.
They theorize that a couple of the cousins might have been like, they moved him around. As opposed to him, I don't think they think that he walked from Dubbo up to Gloucester, for example.
Right, so it wasn't just so.
As far as I know, but he may have. Like, he could legitimately live off the land. He was a tracker and shit.
Yeah, yeah, he was good at what he did there. Not bigging him up, but you know what I'm saying?
Well, like, he had the skill set.
Yes.
There's some fucking interesting documentaries here. I'd like to learn more about the art of tracking.
100%. But even like the art of the control, like the indigenous land management where they burn, like I would just saw a very small video, Dave, look it up, or like just look it up in general. But like, and I also was listening to this audiobook at the start of this year, or like the end of last year, called Dark Emu. And it was just about the way that... One of the elements was about how indigenous land management was so fucking on point. And I'd have to go back and do a bit of like a refresher on it. But anyway, after the bushfires, I saw this video of this guy, an indigenous dude, like talking about how they would do these burns. And it was just like, it was this really controlled burn of just the forest floor. So like all of the fucking leaf litter and shit, I guess like the kindling, right? The fucking fuel loads.
Mm.
And it was just crazy to watch the floor of the forest burning around huge trees. And this guy just standing there like managing it and like just burning away all of the shit on the ground without these trees going up. It's pretty fucking crazy.
Crazy, mate. Fucking interesting. Like I was listening to this documentary once where this guy was telling a story about how he's a jackaroo up in Queensland somewhere. They had all these indigenous stockmen, and they were out one day looking for cattle, and he got there late. Like, they were supposed to meet at a point, and he got there, and he couldn't find them, and he waited around for, like, 4 or 5 hours. When they got back, he's like, why the fuck did you leave without me? They're like, leave without you? We showed you where we were walking. We walked up on the ridge in the sand so you could see our tracks and shit. He's like, to them, they were like, that is so fucking obvious, bro.
Yeah, right.
Where we were going.
Yeah,
and he's like,
I'm not a tracker.
Not to me, mate. Not to me.
That is crazy. That's a skill set, being able to see where people, like being able to read the fucking floor based on like, oh, that's a human footprint. This is
like, go out into the forest and like into the bush and try and get a read on anything. Try and get a start somewhere.
Mate, if you walk, like when you're camping in a dense bushland area, you don't want to be going too far from where you're coming from to like take a dump or something. You go say 100 meters is too far to go to take a shit in a campsite. But like you can go say 25 meters away, 30 meters away from your campsite and not be able to see it because it's so dense. And if you just get a little bit disorientated, which I'm prone to.
So you don't have a great sense of direction.
I like to think I do, but it's just there are too many signs to say that I don't.
I think everyone likes to think they have a good sense of direction.
But there's just they don't.
But the reality is they don't.
They don't.
I feel like with no sense of smell as well, you'd be terrible at tracking.
Well,
like
I'd certainly be terrible in that sense. The sense of like, you know, being able to smell a campfire or a fucking animal shit or whatever, I'm like...
I don't know how much scent would come into it. Maybe it would. Maybe they smell in the signs.
Probably not as much.
I don't think as much. No. I think it's visual, largely.
The one thing I think is pretty cool, which I feel like is often looked at as a bit nerdy or something, is like foraging and urban foraging. the bar I used to work at, the boss was like super insanely good at this and reckoned she could like just survive in most Australian wildernesses by knowing what she eat. And like, she took me on walks, even in Cooper Park, just went for a walk there and came back with like bagfuls of stuff you could eat, like native Australian fruit and
like things. What?
Like, there's weird things like Kakadu plums and Illawarra plums and like fucking all these berries and
Kakadu
things
plums and yeah. Illawarra plums.
Never heard of it. Like,
never ever heard of it.
Have you ever heard of an Illawarra plum?
Well,
a mate of mine, Parso, his brother's mate, I think, did this crazy, like, not test, but undertaking whereby he wasn't allowed to buy food from the shop for like 60 days or something. He had to live off the land.
Jesus.
He had to go fishing for fucking, you know, in the harbour and like, you know, probably forage for the Illawarra plum and shit and like go out and fucking hunt elk and shit on the weekend. I'm like, that's crazy.
That is crazy to do. And obviously, you know,
like, you want to talk about lost skills, bro?
Yes.
Being able to feed yourself is like yourself. Number one.
That's it, right? Like, if the shit hits the fan, how am I going to feed myself? Urban foraging for me would be like in a dumpster out the back of a Woolworths. Oh yeah, this bread's good. Just pick the mold off it. I'll be all right.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, I'd be all at sea.
Like, fishing's all right, but again,
Even still.
Well, absolutely, right? Like, but I mean, fishing is as close as I can get, but then I still, if I don't have a line, I'm fucked. I can't fashion a line out of like fucking twine or like, you know, tree bark or some shit.
Yeah, I need a rod.
I need a hook and some bait.
Bait and shit, you know.
And I need to have not eaten the bait out of starvation.
Yeah, mate, I'd be no good.
Unless the net, maybe you get the net game. Maybe that's more us as opposed to trying to bait them in. You just try and build a net.
Have you seen I think it's the oldest thing that they know of.
Man-made, the actual man-made thing.
Is the fish traps in...
Yes, dude. That's what is in Dark Emu. It's like in New South Wales or Queensland.
Is it Broken Hill or Lightning Ridge? It's Lightning Ridge.
Brewarina?
There's a name for it. So
if Brewarina?
Yeah, that's yeah. The one.
And it's called something though, isn't it? So I think a lot of, and that's also what happened with the fires. They burnt back all the fucking and like revealed all of these old indigenous fucking like waterway, like man-made sort of, I don't know exactly how to term what they were, but these man-made things within rivers and shit to like capture fish and sort of like farm the rivers. But there is one, and it might be the Brewarina fish traps, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what
it's just called. Like stones that have been placed in certain...
And they think that it could be the oldest man-made structure.
Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They also, in Dark Emu, again, dude, if you, like, it'd be probably a dense read, but as an audiobook, it was fucking great. Because it's just like, I obviously, with audiobooks, like, obviously... It's like just listening to a podcast, but you don't think about it like that. Well, I didn't, at least until I did it. I'm like, this is just a fucking interesting podcast that goes for hours. But they spoke.
Did you find it hard to concentrate?
I go back and listen to shit again. Like you do, but I'll do that with like a hectic Rogan podcast as well, where he's talking to some like astrophysicist and I'll be like, wait a minute, I've checked out here. Much like a conversation with the missus, except you can't rewind what she said. Because if you ask her again what she said, then she knows you haven't been listening, whereas Rogan doesn't know that I haven't been listening.
Yeah,
and neither does Dark Emu.
Spotify does,
but they won't tell.
They don't care.
But so they were saying that there's a potential argument to be made that the earliest ever evidence of baking as well is in the indigenous community.
Baking?
Yeah.
Like
a bit of bush damper.
Like using
cornflake cookies.
Like cornflake cookies. The cornflake cookie earliest evidence of a cornflake cookie is in the indigenous community, I believe. Do your own research.
Tom, if you want to take this subject a bit further, that Dark Emu book earlier this year, there was a bunch of controversy because...
Oh yeah.
Yeah, did you hear about that? So two academics wrote a book essentially debunking it and saying...
Well, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah, but there's still heaps of controversy, people saying like, oh, you know, you're limiting the scope of how we see it, indigenous people, and they could have had a lot more than what you just think and what you've said in this book, so I don't know.
That's interesting though, like, and I mean, that's... can you just send us the link to that so I can have it, because not now, but yeah. Like, as in, send it to me now, I'll read it later, but...
I mean, that's just the way it goes, right? If you're going to come out and say shit, people are going to try to debunk it. I don't think that, you know, you necessarily have to criticize someone for trying to if it's in the pursuit of truth, it's not trying to minimize, you know, an Indigenous experience. But again, I don't know fucking anything about it. Only going off the book alone. And again, it was definitely like it was using a lot of like old writings from colonizers and shit and things that they would just mention in passing as opposed to being like amazing, what we would see as amazing. It was just sort of, they were just sort of like, it was almost just like color in their writing. So as they're moving, like, you know, they're talking about like writing, you know, maybe like moving cattle from one place to another, and it's they're on the river and the fucking like the savages are there fucking, but like they were just talking about this guy. Like there was one thing where this guy was talking about again in passing, but an Indigenous man sitting on the riverbed, and he had basically this contraption that he had made was enabling him to catch fish with like the greatest of ease, whatever the thing was. It was like the guy was just saying, he was like, he was just pulling fish out like it was fucking, like it was just the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah, it was essentially like they were essentially fish farms. That was the whole thing of the book, right? Is that they were actually doing agriculture, and before people thought they were only hunter-gatherers.
And then there was this other one where it was like that they were just a nomadic people and they didn't actually ever settle in any areas. But then again, in the writings here, it was like they spoke about these huge fucking huts that would house like some of them like that, or they'd come across these like shitloads of huts in an area where there was like up to 1,000 fucking people living. And these huts looked like they were established. It wasn't like they're just knocked up. And like one of them, and I don't know who, like it was a well-known explorer who I can't remember. Maybe a Charles Sturt, I want to say, but that could be bullshit.
Big Charlesy Sturt.
Could be Big Charlesy Sturt, but like there was I think it was in something that he had written, and that they were basically out in the desert and so far, so close to death, they were like, they couldn't, there was like they were saying that it was so hot, they had no water, they were fucked, something about like the mercury, they wouldn't have had thermometers though, would they? But there was something about like things were melting, it was so hot, the horses couldn't run, they were fucked. And then on a ridge was just like a fuckload of Indigenous, and they were like, holy shit, like we're fucked here. If they want to kill us, we're fucked. And they basically just came and were like giving water to their, like they just had these huge things of water, and they were like giving him to horses to drink. And they were, and the way this guy in the book described it was like these people that were, you know, you thought were like sort of savages or whatever, were so like hospitable that they were giving water, like they're sharing their water with beasts they'd never seen, like horses and shit they'd never fucking even seen before. And they were like, you know, here you go. And they took him in, they looked after him, they gave him somewhere to sleep and all this shit. And the guy was like, they could have fucked us up, but they didn't.
That would have been a fucking wig out.
What a crazy time to have lived in. Like we get scared about like, you know, anyone that's new or that you don't
know. But
that's
what I'm, imagine being, living through that period as an Indigenous Australian.
Well, yeah.
Exactly. But like when they first arrived.
Yes. Like in
the Hanks
Mel Gibson movie.
Yeah.
Where it finishes and he runs out of the bush and the colonizers are coming. Directed by Mel.
What year are we
Apocalypto.
Thinking?
Apocalypto. There it is. Apocalypto.
The only thing you could compare that to really is like if aliens came.
Yeah. I mean, that is the only thing you compare it to. The thing
now,
is, yeah. The only thing is like aliens don't look like us, but still, there's enough of a drastic like difference in sort of appearance, I guess, from like Indigenous people.
They come in with ships and shit. You'd be like, what the fuck is going on?
And your technology is vastly different.
Well, there's still tribes and shit on like there's an island off the coast of Sri Lanka,
North Sentinel Island.
Yes,
North Sentinel Island, where there's a population of, I think 60-odd, they theorize, just doing their
thing. Dude, they killed someone a couple of years ago.
They kill people, like...
Because people will try to go there and, like,
see... Well, there was people that were fishing in and they killed him with fucking like arrows. Poisoned arrows. And then someone else tried to go there and they killed him as soon as he got
there. It was a Christian missionary.
And he tried to go a few times and was like attacked the first couple times and then the third time.
He was trying to take the Lord, like he was taking Jesus too seriously, and he was trying to take like the word of the Lord to him. And as he approached the beach, they said,
I saw some photos of them once. I think they flew over and they could see like, you know, women and children and the men and shit. And then they flew back a little while later and the women and children were gone and the men were in fucking war paint with the fucking arrows and shit ready to go.
And you still see, I remember the first time I saw a photo. Remember that one where it was like, it would have come out when we were maybe in high school, maybe a bit after, but where it was like the flyover of the Amazon tribes. Those like uncontacted tribes.
That may be the photo I'm thinking of. A bit of crossover, but yeah.
Well, it could be. But like when I first saw that, I just had never even considered that that was actually a possibility. And it blew my fucking mind that in today's time that the Amazon is still so dense and unexplored that there are like uncontacted human tribes living like that. You're like, holy fuck, that's amazing.
It's fucking wild
and
stuff.
And that you wouldn't even know about. And when the plane flies over, you're like, from the first until the camera zooms in, you're like, there is no way of knowing who or what is living in there.
What is their perception of the rest of the world?
Have you heard of these cargo cults and the islands about that?
No.
Oh, you're gonna love this. So basically, in the Second World War, there were like obviously there were still uncolonized islands, people who hadn't been contacted by the Western world. And so these military forces would arrive in these islands to set up bases, like in the Pacific and in Asia and stuff. And basically these like pre-contact cultures, these cultures that were still just living in the land, started to think that these guys were gods because they would arrive on these planes, they would bring food, they would bring supplies, they would bring all this stuff that they could trade with and better technology. And so it says here, after the war, the soldiers departed, cargo cults arose, attempting to imitate the behaviors of the soldiers, thinking that this would cause the soldiers and their cargo to return. Some cult behaviors included mimicking the day-to-day activities and dress styles of soldiers, such as performing parade ground drills with wooden or salvage rifles.
Holy
shit. What the fuck?
Is that like how, isn't there some native... I don't know if it's an island or like it's an entire country, but like where they worshipped Prince Philip.
Oh yeah, that could be
seriously where like Prince Philip was like the fucking man.
Oh my god!
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure he ended up visiting him, but like they were.
I think
like
it's called England.
Huh?
I think it's called England.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure there is one, Dave.
He wasn't top of the tree, though.
So the Prince Philip movement is a religious sect followed by the Kastom people around the village.
Prince Philip movement?
Yeah, around the villages of Yauhanen on the southern island of Tanna in Vanuatu. It says it is a cargo cult of the certain tribe. They believe in the divinity of Prince Philip.
Crazy.
Basically, according to the ancient tales, the son of a mountain spirit traveled over the seas to distant land. There he married a powerful woman and in time would return to them. He was sometimes said to be a brother to John Frum, who was one of the original cargo cult figures in Vanuatu, who was an American World War serviceman.
Cargo cult.
They believe in the divinity of Prince Philip, the consort to Queen Elizabeth II. They had seen the respect accorded to Queen Elizabeth II by the colonial officials and concluded that her husband, Prince Philip, must be the son referred to in their legends.
Oh, shit. So they had these legends initially, like, and it just sort of fit. It fit their yarn. This Greek fucking oil baron's son or some shit, wasn't he? Or like,
mate, the fucking...
I didn't realise Prince Philip was Greek until, like, he died. Yeah, I was like,
prince,
whoa.
Yeah, yeah. Greek prince.
Yeah.
The fact that... a lot like Pacific islands are habited, inhabited is crazy to me
in terms of the fact that people had to get there.
Yeah,
yeah,
fucking wild.
There's some more good stuff here. So,
I watched Moana for the first time the other day. I know that that is a fucking cartoon movie, but like it was that is the sort of shit they would have had to have.
Yeah, I think they
like
got
the seafaring.
Like, there's a fucking. I think there's like an ancient route from Hawaii down to the Pacific Islands. That's how they theorized they populated that part of the world. And I remember there's this story about this guy. So on the North Shore of Hawaii, there's this guy called. He's like revered. His name's Eddie Aikau.
He's dead.
He's dead. Yeah. He was like the. He was the he was a lifeguard up there.
And
anyway,
a big wave surfer.
Big wave legend. Surfer, like fucking absolute legend.
And he was a sick doco on him, a 30 for 30 or something.
He was doing one of these like seafaring journeys, and that boat started to take on water, and he's like, "I'll fucking paddle for help."
Yes.
And then like hours later, they found the group. The group was saved, but Eddie was lost.
Yeah.
And so now it's like when the fucking waves are big and shit, they're saying over there is like Eddie would go. And so you've got to go because Eddie would go.
Oh, right. And they also, the set things as well is like, that like there's now mysticism, like, because what he did was he took his surfboard and he goes, "I'm going to go try find help." So he paddles off to find help.
Yeah.
And the thing was, he was trying to use one of those old traditional boats, right? That was the thing.
Exactly.
They were
trying to do it like
they were
that,
trying to
as
do
it
like, yeah. And so the thing is now like, oh yeah, he's just still paddling. Like Eddie's just out there still paddling.
He, they hold the Eddie Aikau like invitational, which is like they invite like a select few fucking big dicks to compete. It's only ever held in Waimea Bay if it's above, I think, 40 feet.
It's got to be monsters.
And if it's not, they don't run it.
So, so it
can go for like fucking 6 years, 7 years without being run.
Oh, really? Yeah, so it's not in every year.
No, fuck that.
That's dope.
It's fucking sick.
Yeah, they're not
going
to disrespect the
fucking... And when it's on, it is the loosest competition because the waves are fuck... And you have to paddle in. It's not tow.
Oh, really?
You can paddle, yeah.
So it's just like, yeah, here are your nuts. Fucking...
Yeah. It's fucking wild stuff.
That's crazy.
Wild stuff. It just blows my fucking mind, all this shit. Like Easter Island, when they went there the first time, there was fucking people there. It was thriving. And they went back later and there was...
And it was
gone.
Everyone was gone.
Yeah. But all the trees were knocked down, so they theorized they'd run out of natural
resources. And just those huge fucking heads.
Imagine the final days of Easter Island.
Mate, there'd be a lot of those though, right? Like the final days. Even like the... you know when they do like the... I think we even touched on it the other day, but like when they do that, whatever the type of... you know, 3D imaging, radioactive fucking like camera shit when they're flying over the Amazon and they can see evidence of like cities that have just been completely overgrown. And like there was, you know, that they say, again, look this up, Dave, just around like lost cities in the Amazon, but like about how it was this thriving fucking place with shitloads of people. And then for whatever reason, potentially colonizers coming in and bringing fucking disease and shit, but it's just like, gone, and then it's just been reclaimed by nature, and you're just going like, how many of these things, these crazy civilizations have popped up and gone and popped up and gone, and you just don't know where they are or what they were, the things they knew, like.
But the fact that they can even work that out by flying players over with like fucking sonar or radar, whatever the fuck they're doing.
Yes.
Obviously, both of those were incorrect.
Yes.
But you know what I'm trying
sonar
to say.
Sonar, maybe not incorrect. That's like sound shit. Maybe that like...
Maybe sonar...
Bounces off the sort of...
Maybe sonar's right. Maybe I am right.
It says it about the Amazon. Some of the first Europeans to explore the Amazon in the 1500s reported cities, roads, and cultivated fields. The Dominican friar Gaspar de Carvajal chronicled an expedition in the early 1540s in which he claimed to have seen sprawling towns and large monuments. But when visitors went back later, it doesn't say how much later, they found no such thing.
Crazy. It's like there'd be some Indiana Jones type shit there.
Imagine going to the Amazon in the 1500s.
And
by yourself. On a raft. Fucking...
Like, people had real adventures back in the day. The adventure is kind of lost.
Well, there's like around space and shit, they say that like
the adventurers
stay home now.
We're all born.
Like it's done.
Yeah.
We're born too late.
The next frontier is space.
Yes.
We're born too late to explore the Earth, but too early to explore space. But we've got memes, so
that's right. Beautiful. Is that yours, Dave? Or
no,
is that...
that's an old internet adage.
I was going to say, that was too nice for you. Too nice for us.
Yeah.
Too nice for this show.
Way too classy for this show. Way too classy.
And there's also like the ocean, though. But obviously that's like they say it's largely just fucking desert. But still.
But that's also like I've been watching Blue Planet 2 and they always say this shit like there's more of the ocean that is undiscovered than there is of space.
That doesn't make sense.
No, that doesn't
I
make
agree,
sense.
But they
people always say that.
No, they say that's not fucking true. They say like we know as little about the deep oceans as we do about space. It's not that there's more to be explored because infinity can't fucking compare to a finite amount of fucking space on the Earth. But I think it is that we
and
know
also
just as
like
little about
the oceans on Europa, for an example, theorized to be 100 kilometers deep. Ours are like our deepest is 11.
It does say here a whopping 95% of the ocean is completely unexplored.
Yes.
Apparently it's like literally just desert.
Yeah, but that's also what nothing you would say it. When you don't fucking know. Mm. But you would assume that that's what it is. But it's more about like if 95% of the ocean is undiscovered or unexplored, just the sheer amount of shit like animals that you don't know exist.
But what I'm saying is apparently they're sparse.
Because the coastline is where the yeah. action happens and yeah. that's where the food is.
Yeah.
But that's I was thinking about this when I was watching it. It's like just because that's how we think like ocean life is doesn't mean there's not some completely different kind of life down in the deep that's going to like reimagine the way we look.
That's like that uses or that eats whatever the fuck's down there.
Yeah, like when they say like
I think it would be like the resources are so limited.
It's like
we know for a fact that like the fucking the deserts aren't just chock-a-block full of life.
But that's because we much like, see that.
Yeah, but they're applying that same logic. Yeah, 100%.
This is what I think about like when they're like, oh, there's only like these two planets that's like 3 million light years away that can support life. But that's like support life as we know it. Like if our Earth was completely land and no water and there was a planet of water in our solar system, we'd be like, oh, it can't support life.
Yes.
You know yeah, but yeah. you can only play what you know.
Yeah.
That's the idea. There's no point looking for fucking other planets that don't. That may support life, but not as we know it. It's a waste of fucking time.
Yeah, as we understand life to exist.
Mm. It needs liquid water.
But they found life existing in like the most harsh points on the planet. That you know, like those bits where like the core, the earth, like the center of the earth is sort of a
yeah, and they're feeding,
ocean.
Feeding off the hot vents.
These animals are feeding off the hot vents. And so yeah. they're like, well, fuck, all right. Like that at least gives you an idea about how inhospitable.
Oh, it can be inhospitable, but there needs to be liquid water, they yeah. theorize.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
It's good shit, dude. It's good shit. We call this bongs with D or Dave.
Yeah.
How about the...
we know nothing.
No.
That's what we know.
Yeah.
Yeah. The volcano recently has been cooking me out. That was crazy.
What do you
have
mean?
Have seen the volcano in La Palma or the island off there? You haven't seen that?
No.
Oh, bro, there's been huge volcanic eruptions.
Can you drag it onto the screen?
Yeah,
the
yeah.
volcano, the one where in New Zealand where there was people on it.
Oh,
that wigs me yeah. the fuck out.
That was fucked. That was just...
That's done me in for volcanoes, I reckon.
What do you mean?
Like, I'm not visiting a volcano
fuck
now.
Fuck that, dude. No way. I don't want to see that shit. Like, I do, but I'm not that bad.
No. But, like, I'm not getting that out of my head. I'll be a nervous wreck the whole time.
Yeah.
What am I getting out of that? Just being a fucking shell of a human.
And just getting roasted. Like, that's the way that went down.
No. It's too hectic.
Where's this, Dave?
So La Palma, an island
off
Spain.
Turn the sound
off.
Canary we don't need the sound.
The Spanish Canary Islands.
Jesus. It's, again, like, and we this, are this so caused, out of control. We have no control.
Yeah, this is what caused the earthquake.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, this did. Yeah. I was wondering what caused the earthquake. I'm like, we don't get earthquakes.
I thought we were in the middle of a techie, brah. We don't need to worry about fault lines here, baby.
Yeah, we're like smack bang in the middle
of
that techie.
We're in the middle of the techie. Dude. Oh, yeah, that fire engine's going to make a difference. So,
during the past 14 days, the volcano in the surrounding areas has been shaken by 42 different quakes of 3 magnitude or above and 665 quakes between 2 and 3 magnitude.
Gee, have you guys ever been in an earthquake before?
No.
I have in Japan and it was fucking, it wasn't even that hectic and I shit myself.
What's it feel like?
It feels like the fucking room is shaking. Like, it is so surreal. Because Japan, they have them all the time. Like, you can be... I was over there with a bunch of mates. I had stayed home because we had a massive night the night before and I was actually unwell. I'd done a number on myself. So me and Steph stayed home and our mates were out at, like, dinner or some shit and the fucking thing just starts shaking and we were there winter. Steph and I just get out and just run out onto the street. I'm in my undies and she's in her pajamas and I'm freezing my ass off and we're standing on the street like after this. It went for like 5 seconds. It was nothing. But I just fucking wigged out. Like, get out of the... We're staying in this horse shit Airbnb. Get out. And it stopped and then we went back in.
Was everyone else chilled?
So once like
everyone got home from dinner and we were like, bro, that earthquake, what the fuck? They were like, mate, we were in a restaurant and it started shaking and we've all like jumped off our seats to like get under our table and Japanese people just fucking keep eating. Like, don't even worry about it. Dude, look at this thing. It's like taking over houses and shit. Could last for up to 3 months.
What calls for panic then? In terms of a Japanese earthquake?
Well, probably a more than 5 second shake. It probably wasn't a violent, it wasn't a violent shake. It was par for the course, obviously, for Japan. So why, oh my God, bro. Why is this not on the news or is it?
I don't know. That's where I've been seeing it.
To be fair, I check out of the news a lot with.
I'm checked out of the news at the moment because I'm like, I can't listen to more COVID stuff.
No, neither. I'm so fucking over it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's all we talk about. I'm like, I've had enough.
I'm over it. Dude, look at this thing. Send me this video, Dave, so I can add it to the video.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that, the pool. That's like when you put a hot fry pan in the sink.
It always surprised me that we are so comfortable building next to fucking volcanoes.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Active volleys. What are we doing?
Like, what are we expecting to happen?
I mean, in fairness, these look like established towns and cities that probably did it out of more like necessity. Because as well, a lot of that's like near the ocean and shit, right? Like, how far do I need to go to get away from a volcano?
Well, yeah, this is on an island, so.
It's on an island.
You're pretty close to it. But I'd say all volcanoes are. But like Hawaii, full of volcanoes. Galapagos Islands are all made out of volcano ash. Like,
yeah,
they're all on islands.
Dude, look at this. Like, what do you do if a volcano just claims your home? You're like, okay, well, good luck building back on this thing. Like, how do you build back on that?
Look at that. It's done.
And surely, if you move back there and you're building there, you're like, always have in the back of your mind, fuck, when's this volcano going to burst again?
Well, that's like Tornado Alley in the US, where you're like, bro. That's what I think's crazy, because those motherfuckers roll around every year. It's like spring. Oh, it's tornado season. Hope my house doesn't get ripped out for like the third time in fucking 2 years.
Shout out to Twister, one of the great movies. The late great Bill Paxton,
yes,
is terrific in it.
And Helen Hunt.
Yep.
And the late great Philip Seymour Hoffman. Before he was really respected, he was always like the fat, weird guy in every movie from like Boogie Nights and shit.
Yeah.
Before he became like an Oscar winner and like real.
I love that movie. So funny. It's at the end, it's like, look how much data we're getting.
Yeah. Beep, 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 beep.
And the computer's like, go, man, it's like, data.
Because they were cutting up Coke cans to make them fly in the. Oh, dude, I want to watch that movie. If you haven't watched Twister, watch it. It's such a bounced out fucking movie.
Oh, mate, I've got my next bounced out movie in mind.
It's Twister.
100%.
100% it's Twister.
Storm chases, bro. And doesn't his old man get sucked into the fucking.
I think that's how he becomes. His dad gets sucked out of the fucking thing. And then it's like, I'm now a storm chaser. I need to understand these things. And like the cow in the tornado, I remember as a kid being like, the cow's in the fucking.
That's never left me, that cow.
Well, that was graphics. That was the peak of CGI at the time. Which is so crazy when you think about that, when you play video games back in the day and you're like those early FIFA games where you're like, dude, that fucking looks like Roberto Carlos. Yeah. And then you're like, what the fuck was I thinking?
No, it doesn't. It
doesn't look like Roberto Carlos.
Like even Jurassic Park, you watch it now and you're like, yeah. But back then it was like, holy
It was like,
fuck.
Oh, this is what it was like to be in the dinosaurs.
Jurassic Park, another great bounced out movie.
Park's great.
Fucking terrific.
But the thing with Jurassic Park, it's like, it's frightening. Whereas Twister is like, as opposed to like.
Twister was a little bit like edgier seat.
It's definitely edgier seat, but like, there's something about being frightened. Well, look, Jurassic Park, not so much. I guess it's more like your horror films. If you watch horror films when you're bounced out, you're a fucking sicko. You need positive energy. Last night, me and Steph I was like, let's watch a movie when we go to bed. And then. She like was like, what about this one, Clickbait? And I was like looking into it and it's like some fucking is murders and shit. And I was like, you know what? Like I need to go to sleep with like a clear mind, put on a rom-com, put on a love story, put something that's going to, you know, some people are going to fuck. They're going to, you know, we know the rom-com here.
What'd you go with?
Started with one that was horrible and we had to turn it off. It was real you know, I'm not millennial. What's after? Because we're technically millennials. Is it Gen Z? Or are we Gen Z?
I think Gen Z is after millennial.
Yeah.
We're Gen Y.
But millennial is Gen Y and Gen Z. It's not about generation. Millennial's not a generation.
I was under the impression, and call me stupid, that a millennial was someone born after the year 2000.
No, millennial is someone who's born, I think, after 84.
So...
What do you consider if you were born after the year 2000? Surely they get their own...
That would be a Gen Z.
Surely they get their own thing.
Yeah, they're a Gen Z.
So we got baby boomers, 46 to 64. Generation X, 65 to 79. Fucking Xennials with an X. I've never heard of that before. 75 to 85. Millennials and Gen Y, 80 to 94. And then Gen Z, 95 to 2012. And now they've started Gen Alpha, 2013 to 2012.
Gen Alpha?
Yeah.
So Gen Z was when? 94 to when?
95 to 2012.
Okay.
But Gen Y was what? 85 to 94?
80 to 94.
That seems like a shorter gen compared to 95 to 2012.
There doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to the gen.
No, they just sort of throw them around willy-nilly.
But they also went from like the baby boomer, which sort of had like a nice ring to it,
yeah,
into like Gen X.
They stopped making up cool names for them.
Why?
Gen X gets sort of seem like they get a bit fucked, like they get a bit forgotten. Like they're sort of like, even I guess every generation gets fucked on like the technological advancements a little bit, where like they don't, unless your mic's flatty. Swinging away from you there. Let's
pull playing this up.
No.
That's all right.
Yeah, that'll... well, it's not ideal, is it?
I can still hear you all right.
What if you swing it? What if you overcompensate or swing it? Oh, there you go. Genius. But yeah, you know, like, as the generations progress, obviously with technology, you sort of fall behind unless you actively don't fall behind. But I feel like Gen X is probably the worst. Like, we were young with the internet, so we were sort of... we were able to at least get the internet. Whereas I feel like Gen X is still like a bit out of it. They're a bit out of it. Like any job that they're trying to...
They can't hide behind being a boomer.
No, they can't. They're too young to be like, oh, I don't know, how do I turn this on? But they're also like too old to be like, wait, what the fuck's going on with this new, like with whatever the new technology is, you know, like...
It is like
think about not having a laptop till you're 30, you know, and then being like, oh, now this is just part of it, and like, I don't know, like even just like shortcuts on fucking Word or something.
If you can't, if you're not read on it, it's fucking tough going, because it's basically another language, technology,
yes,
and learning it and all the little hacks and shit.
And even that
shit, like, that you're not even aware of, that you comes so naturally to you, does not come naturally to everyone.
No, and even, and again, like I only just use the Word example because the reality is that I know that I'm falling behind to a degree when it comes to like how easy, like how just sort of commonplace shit would be for younger people using technology just in everyday life. Not like TikTok and shit, but more just like practical implications or practical uses of technology. And how I don't even, as you say, like wouldn't even fucking know it exists. But I just remember one dude when I was at one of my old jobs, and he was like an intern or some shit. And it was literally just copy and pasting something from, like if you were copy and pasting like some, like a quote or words from an article, and then putting them into a Google, into a Word doc. And a way that you could do it so that you, when you paste it, it immediately formats it to the exact same way that everything else is, so you don't have to just have this weird new font, new size, new thing. And he just goes, oh no, you just do like control something something, and it comes in perfectly. And I'm like, what? And it's now probably the most used hack that I use in my entire life, and it's so basic. It's so like, I actually now, having talked it through, feel like I'm slightly Gen X.
What command is it?
Command shift. So you go command shift
C.
Paste.
V.
So you command C, command shift V, and it pastes it in the exact fucking same format. And I'm like, wow.
Game changer.
This is a game changer.
Like even subtle things that you're probably not aware of, that like something that you can click on, if it's clickable, the mouse changes, goes from like a mouse to a hand. You are not aware of it, but it's
it's happening in front of you, and you're not necessarily...
And you pick up on it because you read on technology, but like old people, they don't get that.
Oh, 100%.
So how do you know you can click on that? And you're like...
The thing changes.
Yeah. But that's not something you just, you're just like, oh, I don't know, like you.
You just, well, that's the thing. I wouldn't have even noticed that, but yeah. I just would, you would just know that when you do it because it becomes a fucking hand.
Carly was just, Carly, a friend of ours, just shared this video on Instagram and it's the late.
Was, to us?
No, she put it on her Instagram. Who was the Apple guy that died? Fucking
Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs. And he's, it's like an early iPhone and he's showing people like the pinch and zooming in on photos and shit and the crowd's losing it. They're like, what?
Dude, I remember seeing those early things that he would do and the zoom was fucking mind-blowing. Those early, what was it? It was like a TED Talk, but he would, it was called something else when he would do them. Those like huge conferences where all the geeks are there and he's showing the new shit. When he was doing that for the iPhone for the first time, that was fucking mind-blowing.
Yeah, mind-blowing.
Mind-blowing shit.
Crazy.
Swiping to get...
Yeah.
Just swiping photos and zooming in and zooming out.
Yeah. I know. Unbelievable. That's it.
Can you turn the volume up here?
Yeah.
No, you got to do it on the video. Click on the video. Is it up the top?
Yeah.
Awesome. The other thing I can do is I can take any of these pictures... And I can make them bigger. And so let me go ahead and get the camera back up. Yeah, there it is right there. I can just take my fingers and we call it the pinch. I can bring them closer together or move them further apart to make it bigger or smaller. And so I can just move them further apart and stretch the image.
Crazy, dude.
Isn't that cool? Move it around. Isn't that cool?
Wow, dude. That's fucking crazy.
How long ago was that? That wouldn't have been that long ago.
2005, 2006, I'd say. Not that long ago.
When did the iPhone come out?
2007, I think, because I remember people getting it in year 12 and I was like, mother, like, you know when kids just get everything? Like, you know, they get like the fucking... And you'd see shitloads of people with iPhones. And I was like, fuck, I want an iPhone so bad. And it's funny seeing those old ones. They just, like, they were so cool at the time. And now it's like, that looks like a pile of shit.
Yeah, they're dated as fuck.
Yeah.
It's crazy stuff.
The early iPod with the circle. Do you remember that?
Oh, the wheel.
It was the wheel.
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. Those first iPods that came out were like
groundbreaking.
Such a flex if you had one.
Yeah, again, I didn't.
But I didn't have one. Yeah.
And you're like, fuck, can I borrow your iPhone? And they had like they'd have like games on them and shit, which were like very pedestrian, but still, you're just like, this is ridiculous.
A lot of like the kids whose like dads were tradies and they were cashed up had them and I was so fucking jealous.
I just remember heaps of kids in my year had iPods and I'm like, this is bullshit. Here I am with a fucking CD player like a loser. My grandma, and this isn't like a crazy name, but she was always called Nano. And then they came out with iPod Nano and we were like, no, thank you, Steve Jobs. There's only one Nano and that's my Nano. I can't remember if she was alive for the iPod Nano. She might have actually passed before the iPod Nano came along. Either way, she's the original Nano, just so everyone knows. Give me a sec here.
Disciples of St. Peter.
Oh, that's what I wanted to know. That's right. So firstly, Edward.
Mm.
So I firstly want to shout out to the Kicking Tee Dribbler, whose article about the 7 genomic sequences to a dribbler he wrote the other day, which was fucking funny. Dave, did you do the artwork for that or did he?
Yeah, no, I did that.
So like the photoshopping of all the stages? That's so good, dude. We got to put that on something.
Unbelievable.
At some point. That was so funny. But within it, he mentioned the disciples of St. PVL, who we've known about for a while, but I'm also like, they've been gone for so long and now they're like being mentioned in articles and shit. And like, you know, it used to just be like fucking a couple of dribblers. I didn't really know what it was, but now I'm like, I want to know who the fucking disciples of St. PVL are. It's like a clandestine Hello Sport fan club that I think is quite exclusive with, like, some of the more famous dribblers get in there. Like, you've almost got to be a famous dribbler to get into the disciples.
And is it, like, constantly, they're constantly talking in there and shit?
I think so. I don't know. Like, there's, like, constantly shit that pops up on the punters and dribblers page, which is like, oh, someone got kicked out of the disciples of St. PVL.
Someone got kicked out?
I think so. Or, like, someone will get muted. But, like, I know, I'm pretty sure, like, Neil So's in there, Danny Exotic's in there, the Kicking Tea Dribbler's in there. But, like, I don't know anything about them.
No, I know nothing.
Talk about, like, a true crime podcast without the crime. But, like, who are the disciples of St. PVL? Now, you know.
And are they still, like, highly active?
Are they active? Is it a WhatsApp group where they're all in there? But, again, they all, I assume, didn't know each other before. It's only that they've reached a certain level of prominence within the dribbler community.
You've got to reach the dribbler threshold.
That's what I'll fucking get up the article. I'm not going to read the full thing for a multitude of reasons, one being that I don't read very well. But the Kicking Tea Dribbler, who would probably be as close to a baggy green as you could get without actually having one. But so he's written Charles Darwin's Seven Genomic Stages of Dribbler Theory. I won't read them all, but the first one is stage one, the pre-dribbler era. Stage two, D-Day, which is the discovery of the podcast. So pre-dribbler era is like the first time you go into a pub and you just start, like, your dribbler tendencies start to show. You know, you start lipping up, you're loud, you're drinking, whatever. Discovery of the podcast is number two. Number three is hotline bling, where you start to think about whether you've got what it takes to call the dribble hotline. You start practicing in the shower and shit. Stage four, a new dribbler in the family. We now reach the most common stage of dribblers. Here is the dribbler is a weekly listener, regular consumer of blokes. They've even purchased Dr. V. They become increasingly active in the page. They've brushed up on their chops and have begun to Photoshop Ricky Stewart's head, causing Canberra's Chernobyl disaster. They've reached a stage where they are game enough to call out Kendrick in the comments, start a fight with an unprepared dribbler. They've grown a new leg of lippy behaviour, take great pleasure in typing, take your licks under a Hello Sport Instagram post after a famous Manly loss. Stage five, household name. Darwin exposed their examples of dribblers becoming famous for something, someone or a particular area of expertise. Most of these stage five dribblers have etched their names into the halls of baggy green membership. Others haven't. He's like, Danny Exotic, Jelly Shot Kid, Neil So the Novocastrian. Stage six, friend of the show, the upper echelon dribbler infamy. Darwin identified the stage six dribblers as dribblers who have gone on to become more famous than the podcast itself. Notable examples include Nudson, Luke Bracey, St. Peter, The Rock, Christian Welch, Adam Elliott's Hog, Kelly Slater's voice box, Gil McLaughlin, Tonka the Dog, and then stage seven's the final dribble, when a dribbler dribbles so hard they pass into the next life.
Oh my God. What the fuck?
Ridiculous.
That is absurd.
Utterly ridiculous. So a video, did you see the video yesterday? Popped up online of Conor McGregor throwing out the first pitch at a baseball game in America, which I understand, like, brings a lot of, like, stress. Well, like, you know, it's a high stress environment. Conor, though, you know, no stranger to fucking high intensity situations. But I would be very confident of being able to throw a decent throw in that situation. I always see people that can't. Like, obviously, if you have no coordination, then sure, but, like...
Has he not practiced, though?
Look at this thing. What do you mean, practice? Dang. Oh! Look at the mascot. He looks completely rattled, the mascot, with how bad it is. He looks back at him like, what was that?
That is horrendous.
Oh, no. He knows he's going to be a meme there. That is, like, the most embarrassing...
Do you want to see one where someone's fucking absolutely nailed it?
Yeah.
So, September 11.
Oh, dude, Greg Cricketer were just talking about this on their podcast the other day.
September 11, obviously, the baseball, like the World Series was delayed, or the whole competition was delayed. Anyway, 3 weeks later, George Bush goes out there at the Yankees game in New York in a bulletproof vest, like was told, fucking, it's not safe, you better not
do it. For tonight's ceremonial first pitch.
nails this thing, bro.
He creams it.
You want to talk about delivering? This is wild stuff. Bit of sound as well.
They, I think they, on the Great Cricketer, their Patreon, which you can like, it's like $5 or $10 to subscribe to their Patreon, where they've got like heaps of extra content. But I saw something, like they did a little teaser of them like talking through this one, and it was fucking hilarious. Like, just obviously they're funny, but like, they're like, just they only showed you a part of it, so their whole breakdown of it is so funny. Look at this. George Bush could do no wrong at this moment.
Nah.
He could do no wrong. This is pressure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, look at that.
You want to talk pressure? You want to talk big moment? Bang. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming.
I'll see you later.
No fanfare. I'm just going to whip it in.
Like,
this is the sort of shit in America I love.
Yeah, like, this is really Yank shit.
This is the most, that could be the most American scene in the history of the country.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How American is that?
That is
good
the most
stuff.
American thing I've ever seen.
In a bulletproof jacket.
Yeah.
Like, really? That's his.
You know what that always reminds me of in Dumb and Dumber, though? When it's like, what if he shot him in the face? It's like, that was a risk we were willing to take.
Good stuff. Love it.
Yeah, that's really good shit.
Fucking Connor. Like, does that in some ways encapsulate where we're at?
With him, potentially. Yeah. I mean, look, he also has a fucking broken leg, or he's recovering from, like, one of the most disgracefully broken legs you've ever seen. But still, like, you got to be able to fucking throw a ball. It's not that hard. Or if you do struggle, see, that's not too bad. Like, it's not great, but that's not too bad. That Snoop Dogg there we're looking at now.
Yeah.
It looks, in full speed, it looks pretty bad.
That looks pretty bad.
It doesn't look great.
It just goes to show, like, George W.
Yeah.
Nailed it. Bit of nailed dip it. At the end.
Oh, it was nice. Down the pipe, probably fucking strike someone out with that.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Then, oh, we got 50 cents here. Yeah, this one's fucked as well. Like, if you can't throw a ball, do not say yes to this.
Oh, fuck no.
You know what I mean?
And if you are going to say yes, you got to put in the hours. You got to put in the work.
You've got it, or you're prepared to become a meme, which is cool.
Curtis.
Turn the audio up. Oh, fuck it, don't worry.
Oh, Curtis!
Oh, that's the worst. Look at the guys in the background like, what the fuck was that?
Dude, that is horrendous.
That is like, you can't hide your embarrassment there. Do you ask for another crack?
I don't think you're allowed one.
We don't have it. Who's this?
This is just the worst of all time.
Oh, well, that's like Johnny Howard, Carly Rae Jepsen of that one song back in the day fame. Who's this?
Carl Lewis?
Carl should be able to pump someone
sang
down.
The national anthem once.
Oh, Carl! My God.
Carl! Dear God.
No, Carl. That was fucked. Mark Malloy. Oh! Not MJ.
Oh, no. MJ?
MJ's at number 7. What's he do?
MJ.
You play baseball, dude.
You got to be kidding me.
Oh,
MJ.
Get off the field.
Oh, no.
Oh, Barry, Barack Obama, number 6. Dude, after George W. Oh! Don't even wave. You don't deserve to wave after that. Nolan Ryan.
Do you know what I mean, though? This is just putting George W. in perspective.
This dude's an MLB Hall of Famer.
Oh, that is old as shit. Not that bad.
Not horrendous.
Not horrendous.
Not at his age.
Gary Do.
That's
disgraceful. Interesting. I don't know who that is, but that's fucking disgraceful. Sorry. 50 again?
Oh, this would be the...
This is a different video.
Oh, dude, that 50 Cent one is ghastly. And like, it's the worst bit is that he's meant to be like a hard bastard. John Wall, no idea. Oh, John. Oh, that's bad.
You wouldn't think an NBA player would be that bad.
Dude, if you can't, if you bounce it, oh my Christ.
Oh, okay.
Oh, an underarm as well. That
Miss Texas, all right.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's fucked up.
She's a ballerina. That's fucked up. I get it.
Yeah. Send me that video, Dave. Yeah.
I get it.
That's fucking disgraceful. Then the other one, it should be a black tile on our Instagram, which is the baseballer taking a catch. So this video popped up on, I think it was House of Highlights, and it was this baseballer, he's in the outfield running to catch the ball, and he overruns it and has to catch it with, and get the volume up for this, Dave, pause it. He has to catch it with his non-glove hand, and the reaction from the crowd and the commentators, do we need our headphones?
You can if you want, or I can just play it through the TV.
Just play it through the TV.
Why does he need to catch it with his non...
Well, you'll see here, you'll see. No volume. Near it.
Oh, yeah.
And he's fucking waving to the crowd and shit. Look at this crack.
Not that impressive.
It's not impressive at all, Eddie. Not that impressive. It's not impressive at all. Like, to have a mitt like that and to claim some sort of success, like, that's like having a helmet for your hand. Like, or, you know what I mean? Like, that's the most ridiculous fucking thing. Whatever, that's how baseball is.
If you drop a sitter in cricket, you're shot for it. And that's a sitter.
That's an absolute sitter. That was coming in loopy, slow, just coming down. Like any child over the age of 8 basically can do that in Australia.
In this country.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah.
But I think that's us for a Thursday.
That's it, baby.
That's it. Thanks again. Make sure you tune into the live stream. Friday night, Manly v South, Manly win. Good luck to the AFL Grand Final on the weekend in Western Australia. They had one positive COVID case. Obviously, that doesn't mean much, but when they've like, West Australia's all good, got the Grand Final on, they've got a COVID case positive. Now it's like, does Mark McGowan just shut this shit down, or is he allowing a full fucking stadium of people? Everyone's like, I think AFL are like, oh, fuck, please, Christ, don't have this happen.
Mark's a stickler.
Mark's a serious, he's a serious apple or a serious ant, an angry ant, a serious Sally. I don't know. But he's prepared to fucking make the tough calls for the state, it would seem. And one COVID case, whilst that doesn't seem like many, Mark ain't playing that shit. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Could you two just not talk anymore?
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.